Today we're looking at our Dare to Draw Near series, but now we're focusing far more on the Christmas story. Jesus, who defines and redefines us. When we think about nearness, I also think about the polar opposite as well, which is absence. Just think about these two words for a moment, nearness and absence. They're two very extreme experiences, but both of them have very strong emotions attached, wouldn't you agree? If you are absent from something that you love, what happens? We start to crave, don't we? We start to long for. We start to feel incomplete. When you are absent from what you love, that's a really tough place to be. And maybe that's for you today. Maybe you are absent from something that you love, and that is a challenge for you. But the opposite can be said about nearness, can't it? Nearness also has real strong emotions. If you are near something that you love, wow, you can start to feel satisfied, content, something of a complete feeling. You can feel that love coming back. Nearness and absence, very, very polar experiences, aren't they? You know, I've got this little motto for me, and that is, if I'm tight with God and tight with Michelle, I feel a little bulletproof. Tight with God, tight with Michelle, I think we'll be okay. But I know that if I'm feeling a little distant from God, God's always near, but if I'm feeling a little distant from God and our marriage is not in a good place, suddenly I feel a little not so okay. If I'm feeling distant from Michelle relationally, if I'm feeling distant from God, if there's an absence there, that's a really challenging place to be. Tight with God, I say, tight with my wife, and I'm feeling a little stronger in life. Nearness is very, very healing. When I was on my sabbatical time away, I've got to have a few stories from that time, don't I? I had like 5 Sundays out. I was down in Launceston, and I was staying with my brother. Never been to Launceston before, and talk about a really cool place. All these, from a chippy's perspective, all these old houses, all done up in Victorian style. I really loved that place. I think I loved it most for the mountain biking out at Derby, but definitely Dora Hope Church was a real highlight, and meeting with Pastor Steve, and wow, what an incredible church reaching out to the local community. I was reading and writing, and I got a little bit of cabin fever. That doesn't take long for me. I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy, and I kind of was writing. The house was empty. My brother, my sister-in-law, the kids, they're all out, and I thought to myself, I've got to get out of this place overlooking the Manning River and the mountains and the hills. It's just so beautiful, and I'm thinking, where could I go? I don't know what to do. My brother gave me one of his cars, so I get on TripAdvisor, and literally down the road was this wetlands walk. I'll show you a photo from this walk. It was all time. There were these islands and basically really long boardwalks, and I was by myself. And just at the start of the walk, I said, Jesus, I just want to walk with you. Would you speak to me? Would you draw near to me? I long for your presence. And as I was walking along these very long, beautiful boardwalks in creation, without a doubt, I felt a power greater than myself coming alongside me. I felt a love that I could not manufacture. I felt a peace that you just can't have enough energy to get in and on your own strength. At that point, you know, it was a few weeks out of the office and out of this role as lead pastor. I was feeling a little tired. A few things had caught up with me, and I didn't have any sense of I can just get myself through and feel better. No way. As I was walking along in creation, no one's around, just bird noises and beautiful fresh air and this incredible scenery, I just felt the presence of God. I saw something that day. I really felt the Lord gave me a picture and a word that day that I'm just really journaling and reflecting on, but it was certainly special and unique to me. I don't think there's anything more important in life than taking a walk with our Lord. Is there anything more important than the presence of God drawing near to your soul? I'm happy to be corrected, but I don't think there's anything more important than God's presence and us drawing near to God. You see, God is nearer than we think. I love what Philippians says. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. We're called to be gentle people. Gentle. Assertive, but gentle. But look at this. Do you want to say it with me? The Lord is near. The Lord is near. As followers of Jesus, we hold up this beautiful word, Emmanuel, at Christmas. God with us. But I think the real challenge for us is that we are very, very good at going a million miles in the wrong direction away from God. It might be a million miles in the wrong direction in our thoughts, in our emotions. It could be with our feet. But we're very good at going a million miles in the wrong direction. But what I love about our God and how much He loves each of us here this morning is that God is only ever one prayer away. I love this truth that you can be a million miles in the wrong direction in your thought process, in your anger and resentment, in your bitterness, in our pain, in our challenge. Hey, you may be here today thinking this might be my last day at church. You could be a million miles in the wrong direction away from God. But guess what? God is still near. Amen. He's just one prayer away. That's it. God will never be a million miles away from you. He's just one prayer away. The Lord is near. God is so zealous to be close to us. I love John chapter 14 when Jesus is with his disciples and he's saying he's going to die. He's going to leave them. And all of a sudden, his disciples are very anxious that Jesus won't be there. And we're an anxious people, aren't we? We worry, we struggle, we're an anxious people. And the disciples are no different. They were anxious that Jesus was going and they didn't know what was going to happen. And so Jesus wanted to comfort them. And he says in John chapter 14, I will not leave you orphaned, but I will come to you. Even though Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, how can he come to us? Well, he comes to us in and through his Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I am near. God is nearer than we think. He is right close. He is anxious and zealous to be close to us. Let me ask you this morning, do you desire to draw near to God? Because what I love about God is that he doesn't force himself on you. You've got a hunger and thirst for him, and he'll be right there. You know, I love the fact that Shell didn't put me in a headlock and say, love me, Paul. No. What is love? Love is a choice that two people make to want to mutually walk in life together. God's not going to force himself on you, but God is love, and he's zealous to be near you. So let me ask you again, do you desire to draw near to God? Have you had enough of being a million miles in the wrong direction? Maybe it's just in your thoughts. Have you had enough? Do you need a power greater than yourself to overcome? Think about your greatest challenge right now. Do you need a power greater than yourself to overcome? Because God is that power. In every way, we can overcome with the power of God in us. Do you want to draw near to God? Freedom in Christ, our vision, I think very much so, is experienced and realized when the Lord draws near. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Oh, come on. Freedom. That's right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, the Apostle Paul says. Wow. Our vision of freedom in Christ, it's what it comes alive. It is realized. It is experienced. It's a reality when the Lord draws near to us. In Luke chapter 1 this morning, this story of Zechariah, it's in focus for us. Zechariah was a priest. He was serving in the temple at Jerusalem. His wife Elizabeth was barren, Whenever you see the word barren in the Bible, get ready, God's about to do something that's impossible. Whenever you see barrenness in the Bible, God's about to move. He's about to act. But Elizabeth is barren. They're facing a very insecure future. Social stigma about not having a child, but a very insecure future because as they age without kids, they're not going to have a lot of people that will defend them. They need kids. It's not good for them. It's a real struggle. But now they're advanced in years. What I love about this story is that Zechariah is in the temple where the presence of God is. But what we're going to see is that Zechariah's head and his heart was a million miles away from God. I find that really interesting. Zechariah was in the temple, but his head and his heart was a million miles away from God. So let's have a look in this great Christmas intro for us in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. The words will be on the screen for us. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a great priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were really good role models. They were upright. They were great devout Jews. They were following the Torah blamelessly. And yet they were without a child. What Zechariah and Elizabeth are experiencing is the pain and challenge of unanswered prayer. It's hard, unanswered prayer. If there's ever going to be a barrier that we put up in experiencing the presence of God, it's when there is unanswered prayer in our life, and especially for an extended period of time. And as we plunge into this Zechariah story this morning, we're just going to have a look at two barriers that I think we put up that makes us at times feel a little distant from God, even though God is always near. Here are the two barriers. This comes out of the passage this morning. Unanswered prayer and doubts that paralyze. Let's push into that for a few moments. Unanswered prayer, it's, I think, one of our great big challenges. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're praying and serving, they're praying and serving, they're praying, and there's no answers to their prayer. Is that what you're finding today? You're praying, you're serving, you're praying, you're serving, but there's no answers to your prayer. That's a really challenging place to be. And that's where Zechariah and Elizabeth found themselves. Let's read on in this story, verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. We saw that on the multi. And when the time for burning of incense came, all assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John." I just want to point out a couple of things from that passage of Scripture around unanswered prayer. The first is this. God is always doing more than we can see or understand. Amen. Do you notice that Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer was heard? Can we get the... Just go back one for me, Mike. I just think it's really, really powerful when somebody feels heard. Have you ever been in that situation where you feel really disappointed about somebody? Maybe it's a marital conflict and you just need to get something off your chest. You get it off your chest and the other person maybe can relay back what you said, and then you what? You feel heard. When you feel heard, it's like all the tension just goes out. There's something really powerful about being heard. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, their prayers were heard, just not yet answered. But they were praying and serving, praying and serving. Their prayers were heard. God is doing more than we can understand. In fact, God's fingerprints are all over the circumstantial events in this passage. We just read over a whole lot of context. Let me just explain it very briefly, some of the context in this story, because it's really important. God's fingerprints are all over Zechariah's context, the circumstantial evidence of his lives. In fact, when he was in his division, his priestly division, when he was on duty, there was actually 24 priestly divisions numbering about 20,000 priests. If you want to do a cross-check there, you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7 to 8, and it talks about the 24 priestly divisions. There's about 20,000 priests, and Zechariah is chosen to go into the temple to light the incense. Did you know you could go through your whole career as a priest and never, ever once light the incense? Out of 20,000 priests or so, Zechariah was chosen. Can you not see the fingerprints of God? Can you not see that God is doing more than Zechariah can understand? He's serving and praying, he's serving and praying, and his prayers are heard. And what's happening? God is doing more than Zechariah can understand. Can I just encourage you today with that? As you serve and pray, with unanswered prayer, I want you to be fully assured that your prayers are heard too. They might not yet be answered, but they're heard. And you may not be able to see what God is doing, but God is always at work. He always responds. He's doing more than we can understand. Zechariah had no idea that God was answering his prayers. His fingerprints are all over. He basically served in his division twice a year for a week. It's a high honor to be chosen, to light the incense and then to extinguish the incense. So when the incense rose up, along with the sacrifice of the bull, it was the sacrifice of that flesh and the aroma of the incense, it would go up and be pleasing before the Lord because it was basically taking away the sin of Israel. God is doing more than we can understand. His fingerprints are all over the circumstance of our life. I really love when Gabriel, the angel, says to Zechariah, you know, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You'll give him the name John. I think the question more so for us, is God listening? Of course he's listening. Your prayers are heard. I think this is the bigger question for us today and a real big challenge. Do you trust God with your unanswered prayer? Do you trust God with your unanswered prayer? Maybe you're really praying for a son or daughter to come back to Jesus. Your prayer's heard. Maybe you're praying for a healing for someone. Your prayer's heard. Do you trust God with your unanswered prayer? Because here's the good news. Here's the good news. God is doing more than we can understand. His fingerprints are all over the circumstances of your life, whether you can see it right now or not. Zechariah couldn't see it at the time, but God was moving. And here's the second point around unanswered prayer. Just because you don't see God doing anything doesn't mean he's doing nothing. I encourage you, get your phones out, take a photo of that, and just think about that across the course of this week. I'll say it again. Just because you don't see God doing anything doesn't mean he is doing nothing. He's always moving in the circumstance. In 2009, I was about to go on my second trip to Cambodia when I was working back as the missions pastor at Guy Mee Baps. I had no idea, but at that time, in a place called Steng Men Che, it was a dump site in Phnom Penh. This rubbish dump, people lived and eked out their existence. In fact, when we got there, which I'll explain in a few moments' time, it made Menai Tip look like the Hilton. There was a mother and a father in 2009 crying out to God for help for their little baby that had cleft palate and couldn't suckle and was wasting away. They live in a rubbish dump and they were crying out to God for help. Dr. Dale Knutson from the United States, a specialist pediatrician, came across them as he wandered this dump site. He also knew a nurse called Sandy, I think it was Sandy Jones, from up in Queensland. Sandy actually knew our contact, Rhoda, was chatting to Rhoda in the off chance one afternoon, and Rhoda said, I've got a team coming from Sydney, maybe I should get in contact with them. Dr. Dale was there and said, no, how about, can I email him as a doctor? It's pretty specific what we need. I get this email sitting in my office one day before we're about to leave to get some bottles for a cleft palate baby. I had never heard of cleft palate in my life. I had no idea. I've never met this guy. I'm surprised it didn't even go into my spam. I was about to hit delete because I was so busy, as you could imagine, team leader. There was so much to do that day. It's not funny. I was about to hit delete, but there was something inside of me that just urged me not to. And when I find myself in a lot of trouble, the best thing I can do is ring my wife. I rang Shell. I read her the email. And she said, well, I have no idea. I'll go across the road to the chemist. We're living in a unit up at Ingerdeen. We literally had a chemist across the road. She went across there. And I think, the 16, 7-year-old girl looked about as blank as we did. You certainly can't buy that specialized teat in a chemist. Shell didn't know what to do. She went down the street to do some shopping. We got really little kids at that point. She bumped into her sister-in-law and randomly bumped into her sister-in-law and said, we came across this email. Paul needs to get some bottles for a cleft palate baby. We have no idea what that means. And she goes, I've got a good friend, Rachel, who's a speech pathologist. I'll give her a call. So she gives her a call. She had a migraine, wasn't going to answer the call, heard the call and said, yes, I know what you're talking about. That's a very specialized teat and I've got no access to that. When do you need it by? Oh, this afternoon. Okay, how about I ring my friend who works with cleft palate babies? Rings her friend, I think it might be Canterbury Hospital. And her friend was on shift, takes the call and says, yeah, we've got heaps in our storeroom. Rings back the chain of events, the chain of people, and Shell says, we've got the teats, but this nurse lives in Parramatta. How are we going to get over there? Shell's mum, Barb, actually went out that afternoon, and that night, about 9 o'clock, I had these bottles and these teats, and I just put them in my bag. I thought nothing of it. We got in country, and we got in contact with Dr. Dale and also Sandy, this nurse, and they took us out to Stengmenche. I have never seen anything so appalling in all my life. It's still, the images are so vivid for me. I remember seeing kids just pulling out meat and just rotten kind of garbage. They just eke existence out of a rubbish tip. You've never seen anything so abhorrent. We get into where this little shack that this family has built, and the next image will come up on the screen. And we give the bottles over, and Sandy's got some formula, and they put the bottle to this little bubba's lips that literally is dying, basically. And the baby didn't suckle at all. And it's like, what do you do? The baby hadn't eaten for a long time. We went outside. Oh, gee, it brings emotion. We went outside, those that were with us. We held hands in a circle and we just prayed and we 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 prayed, because guess what? When you pray, the Lord draws near. The Lord did draw near that day as that little one started just to suckle on that. We went inside. I'll never forget just looking at the dad who was just staring at us, smiling. And the mum that just had a steady stream of tears that were just rolling down her cheek. Just because you don't see God doing anything doesn't mean that God is doing nothing. He's doing more than we can understand. God heard the cry of this mum and dad. in a rubbish tip in Cambodia. And God moved. And He can move again in our life. Do we trust God with our unanswered prayer? The Lord is near. He is just one prayer away. And when we make prayer one continuous conversation with God all throughout the day, we will experience His nearness. That Skills for Me clip that we showed there, I shared at the AGM, Jason and Sarah Stanton, who headed up, Jason has actually come to faith a couple of months ago in our church. It's quite the story. It's been such a privilege to disciple him. And we've been talking about prayer. That prayer is not just in the morning or the evening. Prayer is one continuous conversation with God. And when we make prayer one continuous conversation with God, the Lord draws near. So my challenge is, we can trust God with our unanswered prayer. Your prayer is heard. Make prayer one continuous conversation, because God is doing more than we can understand. He is working in the circumstance. His fingerprints are all over in the circumstances of our lives. Just because you cannot see what God is doing, it doesn't mean that He's doing nothing. Thank you. Praise God. He's doing more than we can understand. The Lord is nearer than we think. He's one prayer away. The second barrier that we put up that we're going to see in this passage is doubt that paralyzes. Let's read on in our story, starting again in verse 14. So Gabriel's talking to Zechariah in the temple. Gabriel says to Zechariah, he being your son that you're about to have, he will be a joy and a delight to you. Wouldn't you love to hear that, mums and dads? The first thing you hear before conceiving is an angel that says, your son or daughter will be a joy and a delight to you. That's not fair. And many will rejoice because of his birth. Wow, imagine that. You're at Carina or Sutherland and there's a whole party going on because you had a kid. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Oh, don't we want that for our kids? That our sons and our daughters would be great in the sight of the Lord? How blessed is Zechariah to get this over his unborn child? How cool is this? His son will never take wine, that's a blessing, or other fermented drink. Alcohol destroys lives, but wow. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Imagine that. Wow. The Lord will always be near to your son or daughter. That's a gift. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I'll comment about that in a second. To turn their hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. What a beautiful prophecy over your child. He will be a son. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. Many are going to rejoice. Not many people get those guarantees before they conceive. In fact, John, as we know, he will be the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But I love this. It's worth just reflecting on just for a few moments, just as a teaching point, that John, his son, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I think it's just important we understand what that means. In Malachi, the very, very last words in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, we read this. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. What's really important we understand is that Gabriel is God's messenger. So when God speaks, Gabriel comes to this earth, heaven opens, Gabriel comes and affirms and clarifies what the Father in heaven is speaking. Now, what's really interesting is that this is the last words in the Old Testament. There's 400 years where God says nothing. And then Zechariah gets chosen out of 20,000 priests to light the incense, and God speaks again after like 400 years of silence. And that this John will go in the spirit of Elijah means that he's going to be a wild, wiry character. We know that he lives in the wilderness. He eats locusts. Why not dip them in a bit of honey? I would. Maybe twice, three times. We know that he baptizes. He gets ready the people of God for the Messiah to come, and he will go in the power and the presence of God. And don't you think that if you heard that about your child, you'll be like, yes! As a parent, wouldn't that be cool? You'd expect Zechariah to go, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I've been praying and you finally answered. Let's have a listen to Zechariah's response. To an angel, this is what he says. Zechariah asked the angel. Oh boy. I bet you want to take back those words. How can I be sure of this? What's really interesting in my Bible, just paralleled, is the story of Mary there. I'm jumping ahead. But it's really interesting that Mary has an angelic encounter about falling pregnant. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. From a young girl. Young girls, that's incredible faith. Zechariah, how can this be? He's a priest in God's temple, and yet his head and heart is far away. I think it's a pretty big warning about doubt. Now, seriously, Zechariah is upright before God, zealously following all of God's commands out of the Torah. He's a prayer warrior. His wife loves the Lord, and yet Zechariah can be in the temple and still far from God, and that is still true for us today. You can be in God's house with his people and your head and heart can be way, way, way away from God. But let me remind you, he's only one prayer away. Zechariah had a doubt that paralyzed. And in verses 18, we see, how can this be? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years. The angel answered, well, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news, and now you'll be silent. And you're not able to speak until the day this happens. Ouch. Ouch. Doubt that paralyzes, I think, is another barrier like unanswered prayer. When we don't trust God with our unanswered prayer and we kind of pack it in and we go a million miles in the wrong direction, well, doubt that paralyzes is another barrier that we put up and we kind of keep God at arm's distance. Even though God is near, he's not going to force himself on us, but when we say, Lord, I need you, he wants to come rushing to you. That's the kind of God he is, a God of great love. Zechariah was looking for a further sign. Wow. Don't you think the angel is enough? You show me something else? You got any other tricks, Gabriel? He's like, Gabriel's like, I stand in the presence of God. Isn't it? What? You will not speak. And he doesn't. I think it's really interesting that somebody who can be a priest and meant to be so close to God, and yet his head and his heart were so far away in that moment. Not always, but in that moment. Hebrews 10, chapter 9 to 25 reads this way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, amen, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that was torn in two, remember that, when Jesus died, the temple, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. Look at the instruction. Let us draw near to God. We are instructed, and we can, because God is near. But I think our habitual sin, our stress, our worry, our anger, our resentment, what we do with unanswered prayer, doubts that paralyze, it's like we put up all these walls we don't need to. Let us draw near to God. It's not rocket science. It's just, God, I need you. God is only one I need you prayer away. The Lord is near. He's nearer than we can think. So how can we draw near to God this Christmas season? I just want to give us two just brief challenges. How can we draw near to God this Christmas? It gets busy, doesn't it, from here on in. How do we draw near to God? His presence, it's beautiful. It's powerful. It's peaceful. We overcome. We feel whole. We're strong and centered. The nearness of God is what you and I need the most in life. The most. So I encourage you in these two ways. Faith. Faith is everything. Faith matters to God. You read through the Gospels when Jesus healed somebody, it was in response to faith. What's big faith? I love discipling my boys in this way. What's big faith? We say at home, I hear my boys say, believing that God can. That's big faith. That's big faith. Believing that God can. So I want you to think about your greatest challenge right now, your greatest unanswered prayer. Faith is believing that God can. And when we hold unswervingly to the hope that we have, believing that God can, that faith, that brings the nearness of God. So when you're feeling like you're imploding inside, you might be driving to work and you might be struggling and you might not think that things are going to work out well. In those moments, just say in your head, big faith, I believe God can. And then pray. Just say to yourself, say aloud when you're driving, I believe God can, and then pray, and then I believe you will experience the peace of God in the uncertainty that you face on that day, and you might just come home around the dinner table with an incredible testimony about the nearness of God because you reached out to Him because the Lord is near, and He will come to you. It starts with faith. It's just believing that God can. And Jesus said, how much faith do you need? Mustard seed. Mustard seed. And this is the second challenge as we wrap up today for us. Second point of application. I'm really convinced of this. The nearness of God comes, I think, when we pray with your spouse or your closest Christian friend. I think we really underestimate this. One thing I look over our marriage and I think we just don't pray enough. Shell and I faced a few challenges this week. It was so good to pray again together. Being honest, I think it's been a little while, far too long. But it's funny, you know, when you actually pray together, whether it's with your closest friend, Christian friend, I think that's how we experience the nearness of God in community. Faith is not an individual walk. Yes, it is, but it's also a walk in community with other followers of Jesus. Can I encourage you this week? Or even after this service. I loved on Sunday night after church, there were like three clusters of young adults just praying for each other. Nobody asked for that to happen. I was so proud of the maturity of the City on the Hill crew. I just was so blessed last Sunday just to see just groups of people praying together. Why don't, after our last song, you just turn to the person nearest that you might trust and just pray together? Because when we pray together, we also experience the nearness of God. We need each other. I just want to challenge you in that way. This week, husbands and wives, just maybe if it's only two or three times, pray together. And you will experience the nearness of God. Pray for your kids together. Pray for your next door neighbors together. Pray that each other will experience the nearness of God. And I reckon your house will be filled with a greater peace. Pray together. We just don't do that enough. One day, when this is all said and done, And all this unanswered prayer is gone because Jesus has returned. This sermon will just be redundant because God will be right there. I did lots of reading on sabbatical. I'll just finish you on this quote. Lots of reading. I read this book called Leadership Pain, cracking book. And there's this great quote. When I read it, it kind of reduced me to tears. Maybe I was in a bit of a fragile place, but it's from this lady. I don't even know who she is. Teresa Avila. No idea. Maybe Google search her and tell me about her. I don't know who she is, but I loved what she said. The first moment in the arms of Jesus, the first moment of heaven, is going to make 1,000 years of misery on earth look like one night in a bad hotel. Isn't that awesome? Just sit in that. We're just so quick to rush. We're going to have a busy day, aren't we? But just sit in that for a moment. The first moment in the arms of Jesus. Are you looking forward to that? Oh, I can't wait. I just can't wait. First moment, you're in the arms of Jesus. The first moments of heaven. Wow. It's going to make all that we're going through right now look like one night in a bad hotel. Don't forget, eternity is before us. We need to pray with each other. We need a big faith. The Lord is near. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this message today from Luke chapter 1. Lord, I thank you that our prayers are heard. Lord, would you increase our faith to trust in you with our unanswered prayer. Thank you, Lord, that by faith we believe you are doing more than we can understand. Thank you, Lord, that just because we don't see you doing anything, it doesn't mean you're doing nothing. Thank you that you're always at work in the circumstance of our life and that we can trust you. Father, so often doubt, it paralyzes us. But God, we just want to keep seeking and searching after you. Lord, we need you. We praise you that you are near. Lord, as we reach out for you this week, draw near to us again. Fill us again with a power greater than ourselves, with your joy and your peace and your comfort and your wisdom. Take us by the hand, Jesus, and lead us. Right now, we cry out for you, but we cannot wait until the day that we see you face to face. Lord, increase our faith that our doubt will vanish and that we'll just keep our eyes fixed on you in this Christmas season. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that after 400 years of silence, a baby cried your first words again to humanity. But we cannot wait, Jesus, until you come with all of heaven. And we will meet you in the clouds. We cannot wait. So until then, Lord, help us to persevere, to keep serving and praying with all of our hearts, with all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.